Welcome to Common Sense Revisited. Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host for the next hour, Todd McGreevy. You're joining us on Republic Broadcasting Network. And today is Saturday, September 10th, 2011, near as we can tell. And we appreciate you joining us live. I'm broadcasting from Bettendorf, Iowa, and I appreciate you tuning in. Of course, we want to make sure you're aware that RBN can use your support, both financially and marketing-wise. Tell all your friends and family members to tune in to Republic Broadcasting when they can. Subscribe to the archives. If you have a particular show you're fond of, you know, be sure to send links out to folks to turn them on to RBN. Also, go to republicbroadcasting.org, and you can make a donation there. They have a fund drive going on to help with their equipment costs and so forth. And this internet radio station doesn't happen by itself. There's lots of people behind the scenes who work hard to make sure that we have this resource available to us to share information and to broadcast information, to archive information for playback later. And while you may not agree with everything you hear on RBN, without alternative media like Republic Broadcasting Network, we would be at a even worse heap of trouble than we're in today. Imagine what it would be like in terms of your general awareness, your general ability to take action, ability to network with like-minded individuals if we didn't have stations like Republic Broadcasting Network. So I really encourage you to support RBN one way or the other. The namesake of this show, this segment, that every Saturday at noon Central Time for 1 hour is Common Sense Revisited, and that is the ode to Thomas Paine's original, Common Sense. You can find out more information about that at commonsenserevisited.com. That's the website where you can download for free the 48-page color PDF, which is also a very well-published printed magazine, stitched and trimmed on glossy paper. It is an excellent piece. It's an excellent primer regarding the differences between indigenous power and surrogate power. It's of the origin and design of government in general, with concise remarks on the Declaration of Independence, of indigenous power and surrogate power, thoughts on the present state of American affairs regarding specific issues, and of the present ability of America to return to the laws of nature and of nature's God. Of course, if you listen to this show, you know that that is the challenge that I talk about, that we are living under the corporatocracy, the criminal corporatocracy that we think is a government. It's really the rules of man, the statutes of man, not nature's law, not God's law. And that is the problem. That is why we have controversy and conflict with our so-called government. I've played clips before on this show that illustrate even our congresspeople know that they are working for a corporatocracy, that they're not really a government. This isn't some conspiracy. It's not some big secret. I also publish an independent newspaper here in Iowa, Illinois area on the Mississippi and the Quad Cities called the River Cities Reader. We've written about this in our publication, The Corporatocracy. I've had lots of positive feedback about it. I have yet to have anybody refute it, anybody contact us to say that, you know, this assertion that we don't really have a government anymore, we have a corporate criminality, frankly, that has yet to be refuted. So, you know, those are some foundational things. I also tend to, if you're listening for the first time, I will talk about some national stuff. We'll talk about some headlines, some things going on that impact on the global level. But we also try and remind people about what you can do in your community, in your city, in your county, in your state. The federal, national stuff happening is primarily a distraction, in my opinion. Most of it's a distraction. We should certainly be paying attention to what's happening out there, but you know, what are you doing to get involved in your city, in your county, where you live? What have you done lately, actually, other than complain, frankly? And those are the things that we'll talk about today. I have show links up already and some embedded videos that we're going to get to this segment, this show, at my blog. It's called thirdrailblog.com. That's thirdrailblog, thirdrailblog.com. So take a look. Check it out. There will be, and you'll see at the thirdrailblog.com, you will see the topics we're going to cover today. They include the Obama White House co-opting the petition, the right to petition. We're going to get to that this hour. includes the Jacksonville, Florida Sheriff's Office banning police scanners from media and the public. We're going to talk about that. And advice columnist Amy Alcon threatened with a $500,000 lawsuit for blogging that she claimed TSA raped her at an airport checkpoint. That's a fascinating story in and of itself, that as well. And we're going to have a break right now, folks, so stay tuned and support the advertisers you hear on RBN. Stay tuned.
877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Common Sense Revisited. Thank you for staying with us today, Saturday, September 10th, 2011. And I want to remind everybody to stay tuned for Michael McKay at 1 o'clock at the top of the next hour for Radio Free Market. And republicbroadcasting.org is the website. And if you want to call in today, the number listed there is 1-800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. During this hour, I'm going to get to the discussion about the Jacksonville, Florida police scanners. If somebody is living, that's listening, is living in Jacksonville and has any insight into the local latest and greatest about Jacksonville's police scanners, you know, please get ready to call in when we get to that segment. Love to hear from you. First, we're going to start off with, I don't know if you all knew this or not, but there's big changes coming to WhiteHouse.gov. That would be our executive branch's website, WhiteHouse.gov. They're promoting a whole new thing coming soon. It's WhiteHouse.gov/WeThePeople. We the People. We're going to play a minute and a half video here in a second that's a promotion for this effort, and I'll give you a little backstory on this. Bob Schultz from We the People Foundation sent me this link. Somebody had notified him that this was in the works, and it's not like it's a secret or anything. It's up at their website. I guess it's not totally live and functional at this point because, you're going to hear from this video, the White House is going to now give you a better way to petition your government. And we're going to talk about how extremely absurd and laughable this effort is to continue to dumb the masses down, primarily based on the efforts of We the People Foundation and Bob Schultz, who have petitioned the government for the last 15 years. They haven't sent a new petition in the last couple of years because the foundation and its supporters realize that it's time to go beyond petitioning and that the petitions have not been heard. And in fact, there was a U.S. Court of Appeals case that refused to allow it to go to the Supreme Court to adjudicate on the subject of the first impression subject of what is the right to petition for redress of grievance. Is the government required to respond? And we're going to talk about that, those results of that lawsuit that We the People and Bob Schultz brought, right after we listen to the promotional video from WhiteHouse.gov promoting this brand new thing. So stay tuned.
Coming soon to WhiteHouse.gov. It's called We the People, and it's a new way to petition your government to take action on a range of important issues. We the People, that's a phrase we all know from the Constitution, and its First Amendment guarantees your right to petition our government. Americans have always used petitions to organize around issues they care about. Now, thanks to the Internet, they're even more popular. A lot more popular. So popular, in fact, that we've come up with a better way to engage this activity online. That's why We the People matters to you. It's an official way to make your voice heard in our government, and it's simple. Anyone can create or sign a petition on WhiteHouse.gov that calls on the federal government to take action on a range of important issues facing our nation. But that's just the first step. It's up to you to build support by gathering even more signatures. And if your petition is among the most popular, a group of White House policy officials, like this good-looking bunch, will review it, make sure it gets to the right people in the Obama administration, and craft an official response. We the People is going to launch very soon, so make sure you do two things right now. First, head over to whitehouse.gov/we the people to learn more and sign up so you're the first to know when it's live. Second, start thinking about the issues that matter to you and who you're going to reach out to join you. We the People, it's a new way for your voice to be heard in our government, and we're looking forward to hearing from you.
So start thinking, everybody, about those issues that matter to you, because the Obama administration is going to hear your petition. When I saw this, I couldn't help but just start laughing out loud. This was just an amazing little – it's a co-opting of the model, if you will. And the website itself, actually, if you scroll down to the bottom of that page, the WhiteHouse.gov/we the people, they actually talk about the history of petitioning and so forth on here, and about, you know, the petitions played an important role in petitioning about slavery. Of course, they're not going into the when petitioning for redress of grievances was ended shortly before John Quincy Adams' presidency, because the executive branch and Congress got tired of hearing from the abolitionists who wanted to get rid of slavery, so they tabled petitioning indefinitely through a parliamentary procedure. Prior to that, they actually, government did listen to petitions and did respond, but that's been a lost art, if you will. And I can't imagine the folks that have supported We the People Foundation and Bob Schultz all these years. I mean, they've petitioned everything from the illegal bombing of Kosovo to the illegal bailout of the Mexican peso to the Patriot Act to the Internal Revenue Service. You name it, there's been, you know, dozens of petitions have brought to the highest level of U.S. Court of Appeals. In fact, let's talk about that. Bob, and with the help of Mark Lane and the supporters of We the People Foundation, finally brought a suit to the United States Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. And in 2007, May, they issued their decision affirming the lower court's ruling that the government is not obligated to listen or respond to the petitions for redress of grievances. It's right there in black and white. And at thirdrailblog.com, you can go there. And I have a link to the update from We the People Foundation, as well as a link to the PDF of that ruling. And the highlight of that ruling states that we need not resolve this debate, however, because we must follow the binding Supreme Court precedent, see Tenet versus Doe from 2005. And under that precedent, executive and legislative responses to and consideration of petitions are entrusted to the discretion of those branches. The judgment of this district court is affirmed. Rogers, a circuit judge, concurs, writing, "The text of the petition clause of the First Amendment does not explicitly indicate whether the right to petition includes a right to a response." Now, this is a critical point, because that affirmation says it does not explicitly indicate whether the right includes a right to response. But what did they do? Instead of moving it up the ladder to the Supreme Court to get a ruling on this keystone or capstone right of the First Amendment that should be protected, they just kicked the can and said, we're citing stare decisis of precedents, and we're saying that because of some state rulings, mostly the two they cited were Smith and Knight. One was in Minneapolis or Minnesota, and the other one was in, I think, Louisiana. And they're citing these rulings down at the state level that says we don't have to move forward on this anymore. Anyway, there's all kinds of details linked at thirdrailblog.com. You can get to this, to the We the People analysis from 2007 on this. And, you know, what the We the People wrote back in 2007 was, because the facts of our case are substantially different from Smith and Knight, which is what the U.S. Court of Appeals cited, and we have presented a question of law not presented in Smith and Knight, and because the rights acquired under Smith and Knight are as different from the rights endowed by the Creator and guaranteed to all men in 1791 by the First Amendment as a constitutional republic, is from a pure democracy and a monarchy. We remain highly confident that we will eventually prevail and the judiciary will be forced to perform its proper role and duty under the Constitution, handing down the correct declaration. The facts and the law overwhelmingly argue for a reversal. Well, unfortunately, that did not happen. And since then, of course, if you've listened to this broadcast, you know that I was involved helping organize the Continental Congress 2009. That was the next step after this petitioning. If you want to see the results of Continental Congress 2009, you can go to articlesoffreedom.us. Articlesoffreedom.us have the remedial instructions for our state and federal legislators, should be called national legislators, to remedy the things that we have allowed to break. Those are the details there. Getting beyond petitioning is what I'm trying to say. That was the next step. We're beyond petitioning. It's time to remedy and fix these things. So back to the whitehouse.gov/we the people facade charade. I encourage you to watch the video at thirdrailblog.com. Or go to the whitehouse.gov/we the people and watch it there. It is just laughable to think that these, you know, you're going to get an answer from these policy people. You know, they show this group of, this is just ridiculous. And only if your petition is popular enough, if you get enough friends to help support your petition, will they consider getting a policy person to answer your request. So it's pure democracy, folks. You know, pure winners and losers based on the government's arbitrary discretion. And I guess that, you know, in hindsight, after, you know, talking this through, I guess the whitehouse.gov site is comporting with the U.S. Court of Appeals case that said, you know, it's about discretion, that the executive branch has its discretion to answer a petition or not. So that's at the top-down level, folks. That's the charade, the facade, the distractions that keep us all busy and not focused on things that you can do in your own hometown, things that you can do where you live to fight these unconstitutional rules, you know, statutes of man, you know, rules of man that continue to impose on the people. As we all know, if you listen to RBN, you know what I'm talking about. Everything from Agenda 21 being asserted through our soft law, through regulation, through your county supervisors, through your state legislators, to the grand juries being kept secret from you when your de facto corporate grand jury should be made public, and you should have access to those grand juries so that if you have a problem with your so-called government / corporatocracy, you can bring that problem to the grand jury directly and bypass the corporatocracy. You should have access to that. We've talked about that on the show. There's links to the open letter to the Scott County Grand Jury here. Speaking of local activities, I'm going to jump over to what's happening in Jacksonville, Florida. I think I'm going to have a break up here soon, so I don't want to get this clip going before the break, but I'll preface this. In Jacksonville, Florida, late August, early September, the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office decided that it was going to revoke the scanners that local media had leased from them to monitor police activity. We're going to get to that right after this break. Got another break. You're from Jacksonville, Florida. Stay tuned, especially, and get ready to call in. We'd love to hear your thoughts, what's going on there locally. We'll be right back right after this break on Common Sense. Keep it.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Welcome back, everybody. Common Sense Revisited on Public Broadcasting. Thanks for staying with us. I'm your host, Todd McGreevy. And a couple of follow-up points before we jump to Jacksonville, Florida. You know, that petitioning tool at the whitehouse.gov, I do know that Bob Schultz and his supporters are preparing a petition to submit there. And, of course, there's already, you know, dozens of them they've had on the books for years with, you know, tens of thousands and over 90,000 signatories to the previous petitions, but they're preparing a new one about Libya and the unconstitutionality of that whole affair, and with a demand for the Obama administration to cease and desist. You know, and they're going to take this current administration at their word and submit it and see if they respond. I mean, it's a little bit of a exercise in what you want to call it. It's for posterity, you know, if you will, to go through the motions and call them out. It's just so laughable to even think that there's going to be anything of remedy forthcoming from that effort. It boggles the mind. But anyway, they're going to pursue that and take them at their word and see what happens there. I also did share with a friend and associate who have had on the air before here, Eileen Daneman, who is the director of the Vaccine Liberation Army, that she has put out a notice that she is looking for donations to help buy stickers to give to the high school kids, especially in California. It looks like they have dozens of people waiting for stickers to hand out to kids. This is a grassroots viral marketing effort. Eileen's talked about it on the show before, and primarily it's if you go to vaccineliberationarmy.com, you can read up on all that. There's some phenomenal support material there, and in a minimum, what the Vaccine Liberation Army is promoting is informed consent. informed awareness about, you know, getting the jab, you know, getting the needle in your arm with these vaccinations that are just, you know, proven to, you know, harm people. They are, it is another classic example of the Leviathan federal government, you know, buying for, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars from, you know, its pet big pharma supporters, their product, and just pushing it out on the people. And, you know, I'm not trying to tell you whether you should vaccinate your kids or not, but I am sharing with you that you should research the information before you make a decision and just blindly send your kid into get the jab. Make sure that you're at least informing yourself. And what Eileen's group is trying to do is to bypass the propaganda and go directly to the kids. Kids are smart enough to figure out what's good for them, given the information as well, especially high school kids these days. And that is her effort. So she's trying to raise $1,200 to buy a bunch of stickers to get out there. I think it's a very effective measure, and I support her efforts to do that. So go to VaccineLiberationArmy.com and give Eileen Daneman a hand there. And I know we're going to have a break coming up here again at the bottom half of the hour. So before we get to this video from the local news in Jacksonville, I'll try and prep this a little bit. You know, it was a move that was anticipated for weeks, but no less debilitating. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office did remove on September 6th the police scanners from local newsrooms. They announced their decision back in July. So it's a little bit of old news, but it's, you know, I think it's just now starting to get to the top of the heap, if you will, for people to understand the repercussions of this. The sheriff's office claimed it was for budgetary reasons. They were removing the scanners. And what my understanding is that they also are going to scramble or encode the signal so that the general public can no longer monitor the police scanners as well. And it's just a move that is completely, you know, again, this corporatocracy. How much more do we need to needs to happen for folks to understand that they're not serving the people? They being the law enforcement, they are doing what the courts tell them to do. They're doing what the bar associations tell them to do. They're doing what the banks are telling them to do when they go out and collect money on behalf of, you know, big corporations for past due credit cards and so forth. You know, are they banning cell phones in your courthouse? Are they banning digital recording devices in your courthouse? They are where I live. That's doing the corporatocracy's bidding, not the people's bidding. You know, it's debilitating. The police state is just growing. And I don't know if this is happening in other counties or other sheriff's departments are doing this. And I'm hopeful that some folks in Florida might be listening could call in and share with us any viewpoints they have about this, these scanners being removed. We're going to play this clip after the next break because it's really informative. There's the local news stations down there have been on it. You know, are your local law enforcement enforcing the corporatocracy's wishes that you don't hand out literature in front of your courthouses where you live, like Julian Heichlin has done, the gentleman from we've had on the air here as well, from Manhattan, who's been traveling the country, going in front of courthouses, handing out fully informed jury information. He's been arrested on numerous occasions just for pamphleteering, folks, just for handing out literature in front of the so-called public square. How much of a public square is it when the corporatocracy can arrest you for just exercising your freedom of speech? They're supposed to be protecting your freedom of speech, not punishing you for exercising your freedom of speech. And it looks like that the latest move by the police state is to take away or restrict, I should say, restrict the public and the media from accessing the police scanners. And I'm sure some of you listening to this broadcast listen to police scanners. I know it's more people than most know do have police scanners in their home, and it should be public airwaves. Why would a public officer sworn to their duty to uphold the peace be concerned about what they say while they're on the job? Why shouldn't it be totally transparent? They are our servant. We are the master. That is the way it's supposed to be set up, folks, as you well know. We're going to get to this clip from Jacksonville right after this break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Ladies, gentlemen, Americans, meet Steve Boss.
The American dream has become a nightmare.
Steve Boss.
We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not.
To meet and see Steve Boss perform live, you need to be at Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, downtown at the Expo Center, all for $9 tickets. Get yours at GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss Steve Boss in concert live at Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri.
Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Back, everybody. Thank you for staying with us on Common Sense Revisited. And we're talking about Jacksonville Sheriff's Office recent decision to restrict the public and media from monitoring their police calls and so forth. And let's recall that, you know, per last week's discussion that, you know, it was reported that the First Circuit Court of Appeals, the highest federal court for New England, just below the U.S. Supreme Court, handed down a groundbreaking decision defending our right to videotape police and other public officials as they engage in their official duties. So that was a huge, you know, they finally, you know, revisited common sense. Our so-called government finally got to their senses and realized that, yes, the people should be able to film their employees doing their job, which is just incredible. So subsequently, why shouldn't we be able to monitor our employees doing their job? And we're going to go ahead and play this clip. I know we've got a caller on the line, but I want to get this clip in while we have a longer segment so we can hear this. This is going to be a from a news station in Jacksonville, the First Coast News. I'm not familiar with this area very much. There's another news station, the Channel 4, which I have linked at Third Rail Blog as well. But this clip's about 6 minutes long. We're only going to play about the first 3.5-4 minutes, but it is linked and embedded at the Third Rail Blog website, where you can get today's show links and so forth. So let's just go ahead and take a listen to this.
Good evening. I'm Jeannie Blaylock on our assignment desk this evening.
And I'm Shannon Ogden. Glad you're with us tonight. Well, Jacksonville Sheriff's Office has decided to filter what you have the right to know. In the next few weeks, the public will no longer be allowed to listen to police radio conversation. Now, you might be saying, why does this matter? Well, right now, news organizations, including First Coast News, listen to police scanners all day long at assignment desks, like where Jeannie is right now, keeping tabs on what's going on in the city. And soon, the sheriff will only tell you what JSO thinks is important about crime in Jacksonville. Now, Ken Amaro's been on the street covering crime and community issues here for 30 years. So, Ken, what's the community say about this?
Well, right now, the community is just finding out like we are, Shannon. I'm here at the Police Memorial Building where the sheriff's office operates on the Florida Sunshine Law, which happens to be one of the most respected open records law in the country. Now, the idea is if government knows that you're watching and you're listening, it influences them to operate with fairness and integrity. Newsrooms have had a long tradition of listening to police scanners until now.
A male, 18, and a female in front of the 1020.
It is a language very few understand, but when it is properly translated, we can pass that information to you, the public. Trial attorney Dale Carson, a former FBI agent, says it is the free flow of information that makes a society strong.
And it concerns me that that would restrict flow of information to the news outlets, which has been in place for many years now.
In a meeting with news executives, including First Coast News, the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office announced that the media will no longer be able to monitor its communication by radio.
We're pulling radios back.
The radios belong to JSO. The first reason given was budgetary. When news executives offered to pay to keep the radios, they were rejected. The second reason given was operational.
And we also have some operational concerns. I mean, I'm not, you know, you know that. I know that. It's not all just about whether the information gets to you or not. It's what happens with that information. And we do have some operational concerns.
But Carson, the son of a former Jacksonville sheriff, says he thinks JSO is making the wrong decision.
And I think it's a sad sign of the times when government begins to restrict citizens from what they can do, what they can hear, what they can read. I think that's a real problem.
I can hear the scanner in Vistar telling the patrolman where to go. It's the same scanner information that we usually receive in the newsroom, and that way we can get the information to you in a timely manner. Accurate information received quickly are at the center of the trust between law enforcement and the community. In the 2010 JCCI Community Study, the level of satisfaction with public safety service was high.
About 89% are very satisfied or somewhat satisfied with public safety services, and the trend has been upward.
Will JSO's new policy affect the community's trust in the department? Now, I spoke with Ken Paulson with the First Amendment Center in Nashville, and he told me that he thinks JSO is making a bad decision in closing the open communications that it had. Paulson said we can't demand to listen to the radio, if you will, under the First Amendment, but he says it goes against the spirit. Paulson said, I believe that law enforcement's spirit of openness would embrace a long-held tradition of allowing frequencies to be monitored by the press. It is healthy for everyone, and that everyone includes the public, the police, and the media. Back to you.
All right.
So there's the first 4 minutes of that six-minute clip, and they go back to the studio, and one of the gals in the studio does a good job of explaining that the next thing on the horizon that they're anticipating is that the fire department scanners that they also monitor will also be restricted to the access by the public and the law enforcement. And sure enough, they go interview one of the fire department personnel, and he admits, yep, that's probably coming. So this is a systemic thing, it looks like, folks, and I encourage you to get in front of it in your local community and find out what the heck is going on there. I've got David on the line in San Francisco. David, what's your thoughts?
Hey, morning, Todd. Yeah, I'm not sure if this is the first time I've heard your show, but it seems like a good topic. You know, out here in San Francisco, we've got a lot of protest for a lot of years. It's been a city of protest for probably since the Gold Rush days.
Uh-huh.
And the idea that the taxpayers would have an ability to monitor their own people, their employees, is certainly, a logical one. And the idea that they would make it against the law to monitor their own employees means that taxation with representation is against the law. And It's kind of an interesting scam. but they do it in the name of security. So the old Ben Franklin line, for those that take security those who accept security in order to...
who sacrifice liberty for security.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, they're...
Deserve neither.
Let me put a finer point on what we just listened to, though,
because what that you couldn't see the video, but you could hear that the news executives were in a room with one of the sheriff's deputy, you know, spokespeople, right? It wasn't the sheriff. It was one of the spokespersons in this meeting where they're getting told, you know, sorry, we're taking away your scanners. And the nuances are that the police department was leasing these scanners for $70 a month per scanner or something like that to the news organizations. And they said in this meeting, hey, we'll outright buy them. There's no burden on the taxpayer here. We'll buy them. And that's when he said, well, we've got more than budgetary concerns. We have operational concerns. And what he said out loud was, it's what you do with the information. Now, this news report we listened to, nor the stuff I've read, shares any specifics about what they're concerned about with the information once the media or the public has done. How has it inhibited them from doing their job? They've yet to come out and say it. And I want to correct you a little bit there. You said that it made it against the law to monitor them. What my perception of what is happening is they are restricting by taking action, removing the scanners, and then going and making and encrypting the signal. So this is a nuance here. They haven't made it, a crime to monitor. They're just not. They're making it very, very difficult to monitor.
All right. Yeah. Good point.
And so it's going to come to a point where somebody's going to break their encryption because technology always, overcomes. And then there's going to probably be a court case about this.
Interesting because then it gets into whether or not the city is creating such a nightmare that it ends up having to pay enormous amounts of money for either the encryption, for the for lawsuits, for court case, basically lawsuits and freedom of information standards. I mean, they could take this up to the Supreme Court and spend, $2 or $3 million that the city would normally spend on libraries or sewers or whatnot. And it's funny. I dig into pirate radio and micropower radio. And the first time I ever heard scanners, I think I was a little kid, went into a barber shop, and the old barber shop, they had one of those scanners in the back room, and they were always listening, and they knew whether there was a fire at some friend's house or over to what's going on this side of town. And the idea that it was during World War II, they had a lot of micro power. It was essentially crystal radios. And it was legal for little kids. 10-year-old kid could buy a kit and have a hobby radio up.
You don't even want to get me started on the FCC, David. We don't have enough time left in the hour, unfortunately. I think that's where you're heading, and I apologize.
Yeah, it is. Idea that during World War II, when there was fear of Nazis or Japanese coming in, that they didn't outlaw the radio. And they, in fact, considered it a civic duty to have something like that because it was community control of communications, and the idea that now they're essentially scrambling that very idea into a homeland security trap.
Yep, I concur 100%. And I do want to, there's another point I want to bring to this discussion because that was only one news station in Jacksonville. At my blog, I have a link to the other news station that's been covering it, Channel 4 down there. I'm not familiar with this area, but that station has a link to the Florida Attorney General Advisory Legal Opinion from 1997 regarding public records information transmitted by radio signal. And in this document, it explains that the identity, name, phone number, and address of somebody making a 911 call should remain confidential according to the Attorney General's ruling or whatever it was. But it goes on to state, I am aware of no language, neither are statutes, and he cites two different statutes, which would prohibit the Indian Harbor Beach Police Department from entering an agreement with the public to authorize access to a particular radio system for purposes of monitoring police radio transmissions. So there's already some precedent, it looks like, in Florida. And as that reporter that we listened to said, they have one of the better sunshine operations in all 50 states. So I'm trying to bring this to people's attention. My goal with this is to activate you to get involved in your local county and find out, go talk to your local media. Are they getting pressure for this? I mean, recently, and it's I haven't talked about it on this show, and I don't have any evidence on my blog, or but I do remember seeing other internet show hosts and so forth talk about how the emergency broadcast system has been taken over by the Obama administration, and they now can actually go live with a actual, you know, video feed right to the White House at any time they want. And it was a big deal with the TV stations because they had to change all of their equipment to accommodate this new Big Brother, like literally having their hand on the switch where they could just end all transmission and go right to the propaganda.
Well, you know, that's kind of interesting because, you know, 9/11, you remember how the police and fire couldn't communicate with each other. And all during the Bush administration, he never got around to allowing police and fire to communicate. And so all of the port workers and nobody could ever communicate with each other in a time of crisis. And it was a huge scandal because of 9/11, and it continues. So now this description of whether or not Obama has finally fixed the problem, it's as if I'm not positive what you're describing is, you know, some kind of Weasley excuse for them to not be able to communicate because he finally fixed it. So you hear what I'm saying about
might
that.
Might be mixing and matching there. I'm not sure we're on the same topic. But David, do you listen to RBN often?
Yeah, quite often. I you know, probably three or four times a week.
Excellent.
Different shows. Yeah, keep up. I'll look for this. We're having a lot of trouble out here with BART. BART is a regional transportation system, and they're essentially, they murdered a guy on San Francisco property, just murdered him and outright. And the San Francisco police is kissing up to the BART police, and there are all sorts of strange police murders out here. It's as if they've got death squads out in San Francisco now.
Well, the BART system's fascinating, and we'll riff on this just momentarily because I'm not an expert on this, but I do know that BART recently somehow shut down the signal on their trains so that people couldn't actually text each other. Is that correct?
It is. Yeah, there were some, because this poor homeless guy got murdered in, you know, in frightened video camera and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy, a series of protests were developed, and people went down to the platform. It was kind of a flash mob sign, a sort of tweet gathering of a protest. The publicity director of BART arbitrarily decided to cut off all transmissions of all different cell towers. There were probably 10 or 15 different models that are down there in those towers. He arbitrarily cut them all off, and that's a complete violation of the FCC.
David, there's a whole clip out there. I listened to noagendashow.com. It's another really good resource for alternative media, and they had a whole clip with that guy, that publicity director in San Francisco. It's phenomenal. People should search engine No Agenda Show. BART, publicity director, you'll get that clip. It'll blow your mind. We're going to get to this next topic, David. I appreciate you calling
it gets into Homeland Security having a more power than San Francisco, because BART is essentially, since it's regional transportation, it gets huge amounts of Homeland Security. So I personally think that the Homeland Security is trying to encroach in San Francisco with that. But, I'll keep listening.
Thanks, David, for your call. I appreciate your input. So you can go to thirdrailblog.com to get the links. There's about five or six different links, plus this video we just listened to. And there's a really good segment that Channel 4 in Jacksonville did as well. And they have an extended, unedited five-minute interview with the sheriff in Jacksonville, Florida, at their website as well. So you can link through to that at thirdrailblog.com. The next topic I want to get to before the end of the show today is Amy Alcon. She is a blogger and a published syndicated advice columnist. And in full disclosure, I publish a newspaper, an independent newspaper called the River Cities Reader, and we publish Amy Alcon's advice column. It's a humorous take on romance, dating, sex, you know, and so forth. She's a very well-known a blogger and columnist with regards to the advice category, if you will. We get a lot of great feedback about her in the community where I live. A lot of people read her. She's well-respected, knowledgeable, and very funny, actually. And she's made appearances on national media here and there from time to time. She, back in March, went through a checkpoint at the L.A. Airport, and apparently the experience she suffered through that was so traumatic that she blogged about it, and she named the TSA agent in her blog posting. And I will I'm going to read this to you. This is, and I have links at thirdrailblog.com about this. It says here she's an advice columnist and blogger who's just one of the many people who's had a horrifying and traumatizing experience going through airport security lately. After being pulled aside for an enhanced search, she found the process to be so invasive and so in violation of her own rights that she was left sobbing. She wrote about the experience on her blog, noting that she didn't think the search was just invasive in the emotional sense, but flat out physically invasive. So she wrote about this. She named the TSA agent. The TSA agent came back with threat of a defamation lawsuit and demanding $500,000 if she doesn't, and to remove the blog post. Amy's fighting it. We're going to talk about it after the break. Stay tuned.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Thanks for staying with us, everybody, in the South on Common Sense Revisited. Appreciate it. And we're talking about Amy Alcon, the advice columnist, and her battle with TSA. And I'm going to read to you from her actual blog posting, and it's, you know, relatively adult content, so, you know, there's no profanity, but it is, unfortunately, graphic in nature. And so this is what she wrote. Nearing the end of this violation, she was in line at the checkpoint for TSA, I sobbed even louder as the woman four times stuck the side of her gloved hand into my vagina through my pants. Between my labia, she really got up there four times, back, right, and left, and front, right, and left, in my vagina, between my labia. I was shocked, utterly unprepared for how she got the side of her hand up there. It was government-sanctioned sexual assault. Upon leaving, still sobbing, I yelled to the woman, "You raped me." and I took her name to see if I could file sexual assault charges on my return. This woman and all of those who support this system deserve no less than this sort of unpleasant experience and from all of us. That's what she wrote on her blog, among other things. And that was, and she went on to name this woman on her blog. And this woman got an attorney to threaten Amy Alcom with a defamation lawsuit for naming her on her blog and for claiming that she was that she raped her. And so there's a couple things at work here, folks, that are worth paying attention. And there's a link to a techdirt.com article at my blog, thirdrailblog.com, which actually does a great job of explaining these nuances. And it has embedded PDFs of both the letter from Amy Alcon, I'm sorry, from the TSA agent's attorney to Amy Alcon and Amy Alcon's attorney's response to it, which and it's all about the definition of rape. Is essentially what it comes down to. And was she being, you know, by claiming that she was raped? And I'll give you, for instance, if somebody got off a bus, a city bus, and turned, and they were just, you know, going about their business, and they turned to the bus driver and yelled, "You raped me," you know, and then went on to write about it in a newspaper, on a blog, and named that bus driver, I could see that as being called defamation. I could, you know, what, there was no interaction between the two other than, you know, driving the bus around. That's a different story. When somebody walks up to a checkpoint and they are succumbed, they have to succumb to this invasive pat down that is completely demeaning, and we're going to get to it in a second. Doesn't even ensure that we're safer than we were before. There is a that is the difference here, folks. In my opinion, that these people are being going through these checkpoints are being assaulted. And, you know, I had a little back and forth with a friend of mine about this on email. And, you know, in a nutshell, you know, it can be asserted that, you know, well, the TSA agent was doing what she was told. The TSA agent was acting as she was trained, you know. And so subsequently, how can it be called rape if she was being doing what she was told? And this is what makes me just infurious. So really, the thread we can follow there is, if you want to fly, you have to go before this checkpoint. And therefore, you stepped up to the plate, and so you deserve what you got because you stepped up. That's the problem we face here. I know this segment's going to end soon. Ron Paul put a bill out in November of last year that hasn't gotten off the ground yet because people are too freaking timid to actually get up off their knees, and it's called the American Traveler Dignity Act, which was essentially make the TSA agents who are currently exempt from being sued. You know, Amy Alcon wasn't trying to sue this woman. She didn't know if she could or not. That's why she wanted her name. And she found out her attorney told her, nope, you can't do it. They're exempt. They're immune. They can do whatever they want. They can irradiate you with harmful x-rays. They can, you know, molest your children as they walk through, but they're immune. Ron Paul, one of the only sane people there in the District of Criminals, put together this Traveler with Dignity Act, which would revoke that immunity from these federal corporate criminals in blue uniforms with fake shields on. And go check it out. I'll have a link to it at my blog, this whole thing. And then lastly, on this point about Amy Alcon, you know, all this hoo-ha about the First and Fourth Amendment being violated, are we safer? No, we're not safer, folks. TSA fails miserably at their job constantly, and I have a link to an article with a study about that as well. This is no secret. We just don't talk about it enough. So stand up to the folks. If you have to fly, follow what Amy Alcon did, and make it known that you do not appreciate that, and get their names and talk about it. Stay tuned for Radio Free Market with Michael McKay. Thanks for listening.
Gold, ever climbing.